Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now in lesson 24, and we'll continue from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, where we stopped. We ended up last time, and Christ is making it very plain to them that they cannot have the nature of God if they behave just like anybody else. And when it comes to preferential treatment, you know, they treat only those of their own whom they love in a certain way, while others in a different way. He said, if that's the way you're going to behave among yourselves, you're not different than all the rest of the people out there. So people who are going to be genuine followers of Christ, he said, they should treat everybody just the same. And obviously there are various degrees of not preferential treatment, but you know, people that you know closer, you are more intimate with, obviously you're closer to them and you do more things with them. But on the other hand, do not shun others just because they're not in your close circle, you see. They're not in your cliques. God doesn't believe in cliques, you see. God loves his people, yes. He does more things with his own people, yes. But God loves the whole world, everybody else, including those who are, at this point, though they are his children, they are also his enemies by their conduct and behavior. But he's not looking at them only from that point of view, but for what they're going to be, you see, once he begins to deal with them and remove from them, you know, the scales and the blindness and the darkness and the poison and the malice and the nature of the devil, you see, when he sets his hand to redeem them and cleanse them from within, give them another heart to know him and love him, you see, he wants us to act just the same. Look at them for what they're going to be, not for what they are, and from that point of view, learn to love everybody, you see. And that's what he's saying here. For if you love, in verse 46, and that's in essence, unfortunately, what a lot of people do. You know, they love only those that are close to them. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? And you know, that's one of the major precepts that you find in Islam. When you read the Quran, you find, you know, a statement like that. You know, be merciful to the believers and nice to them, obviously, but cruel to the infidels. That's not what God is teaching. That's not of God. That's of the devil. You see? It's just the opposite. That's the reason why there are all those fanatics out there. They haven't learned to love. They don't know what love is. Or they can love their own. But they hate everybody all around them. Anybody who is different. They want to destroy all of them. God is trying to teach us that if you want to be like your heavenly Father, and they supposedly claim to worship Allah and be the faithful and they're just the opposite. Well, they're being exposed for what they are. And everybody else who has been behaving like that, and every single one of us, who is one way toward certain people and another way toward others, we're all liars and thieves and robbers and deceivers. You see? And we're not of God, we're of the devil. And you find this disease everywhere, not only in Islam, but in every given religion. You see? And God says, you cannot be like that. If you want to be like your Father, you better not be what you are. Because what you are is not of God, but of another nature, another devil, another, you know, spirit. So it says, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? In other words, from God, you're not going to have any reward. If you just love those around you, you know, the clique around you, your inner circle, you know, the people in the know. And that's the way we behave. That's human nature. And you see it all around us. People always want, you know, want to sit with their own friends. And they couldn't care less about the strangers, especially, you know, when they look at people and they're not dressed as nice as we are, they, and, you know, she's not or he's not as good-looking or intelligent or educated and things like that, you know, we don't want them around, you see? That's demonic. Think about it. It's not of the nature of God. He went to the lowly, to the humble, to the harlots, to the prostitutes, to the poor, to the publicans, to the sinners, so to speak. He fellowshiped with everybody. He did not distinguish between this and that. He saw them as they are going to be, not as they are. And to begin with, we're all sons and daughters of God. We don't function like that. We have to admit it to ourselves every single time when we find ourselves doing those kind of things which are contrary to the nature of God. And to turn around to claim that we're Christians, followers of Christ, we're liars. You see? We're hypocrites and we're bigots. And every single one of us are guilty of it to one degree or the other whenever we do those kind of things. You see? So we must walk in the light, and God demands truth in the inward parts. No deception. You see, and you cannot deceive God and you cannot mock God. We are being watched all the time, and our own actions determine our judgment. And that's what Christ said. It's not me who is going to judge you the last day, but your own word, you know, my word will. You see, that's our record. And we are the judges, in essence, in that sense. You see, we'll determine our fate by our behavior. We are merciful to people, God is going to be merciful to us. And we are not merciful, God will not be. So we have determined our fate, our verdict, and we determine what our character is, and we determine whether we are of the devil or not, and we have to make that decision every waking moment of our life. You see, in every act, in every feeling, in every emotion, in every action, in every reaction. That's what he's talking about here. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Big deal. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? You know, even the criminals, the worst kind of criminals, the most evil kind of criminals, they do good to those around them. You see? Big deal if you do that too. He says you don't have reward when you do that. And if you greet your brethren only, those who are close to you, your inner, you know, circle, your clique, people you like. If that's all you do, he says, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And those kind of people were despised in those days by everybody. And yet he said, even among ourselves, you know, they treat nicely each other, but not everybody else. So he said, you can't be like them and be like your heavenly Father. You got to make a choice. Make up your mind. What example do you want to follow? And therefore he says, you shall be perfect or complete. That's what the word perfect means, complete. You've got to have all the components of the law of God that will tell you what is right, what is wrong. You see, what is graceful, what is merciful, what is faithful. You see, what is compassionate. And unless you have the entirety of the law of God that teaches you every tiny little component, big matter, small matter. You see, you're going to be walking in the dark in certain areas in your life. And so he says, be perfect. Have it all there. You see? Some people, you look at them and you realize immediately they're not all there. And he's telling us, you've got to be all there. You cannot do it apart from the entirety of the law of God. All the instructions from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. Therefore, you shall be, or be you perfect as your Father, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's all there. We are not. You see? And yet, this is our destiny, to become like him if we walk in that direction. That's the reason we can never reject the law and say it's done away with. When we do, just like, you know, you're throwing away your compass. You know, flashlight, you know, and you walk in the midst of a forest and it's all dark and you throw away the flashlight. You know, is that smart or is it stupid? You see? That's idiocy. A lot of people have done it for 2,000 years and yet they claim to be the followers of Christ. You see, they threw away the light, and yet they claim to follow the light, the source of it. And all of us must learn from that. And so that's how he ends up this part here in this statement after giving us different examples. And then he continues in chapter 6 with more aspects of the nature of God in contrast to the nature of man, the nature of the devil. In Chapter 6, verse 1, it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, and our philanthropic deeds, we say today, before men. Yeah, that's what everybody does today. Why do they want to give? They want people to look up to them, pat them on the shoulder. They want to have a plaque. They want to let everybody know. They want to blow the horn, you know. And that's not of God. That shows that what you have done is not out of a divine nature, but of an ulterior motive that is dark. You see? You want credit. You want it now. You want it from man. You don't want it from God. You see? That's what he's saying. Don't do it. Because if you do it, you blew it. You have no reward from God. Well, that's all you want. Go at it. You see? And so he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. And yet most people do it and call themselves Christians, or call themselves good Jews, or call themselves good, you know, Muslims, or call themselves whatever. This is not an attribute of God, but of the devil. That's what he's making it very plain. And so he says, don't do it to be seen by them. That's the ulterior motive, them, not God. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And if you want to be honest with yourself and say, I'm not interested in any reward from God, I couldn't care less about God. And I just want to have credit for my own peers, you know, fellow men and things like that. Well, go ahead and do it. You see? At least you're honest about it. But he says, if you want to be a servant of God, if you claim to be a follower of Christ or a follower of God, and if you behave in this manner, you're a hypocrite. And how many of us are? How many of us give in public and let everybody know about it, and we have our names, you know, either in the church or anywhere. You know, in a building, hospital, people donate and give and contribute. You know, one of the major reasons is for tax deduction purpose, not really for goodness sake, not because the nature of God is in them. You see the hypocrisy and the bigotry that is there, pretending to be good when they are not. You see? And God says, well, that's the way you behave. God is not going to give you any reward for it because you are not of His. You are of a different spirit. So for you to claim that you are a Christian or whatever, and to do this kind of things, you are declaring before all, you are a hypocrite and everybody can see it and know it. You see, so every time you go, you know, by a church building and you see a plaque there and somebody's name there, you know you are dealing with a hypocrite, not a good man, not from God's point of view. You see, and those people can kid themselves all they want. So he says, therefore, when you do a charge, let's continue here. He said, you know, don't be like others, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, you know, that's what love is, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets. You see? Anybody who has a plaque there, or it is announced, so-and-so gives, you know, that amount of money, whatever it may be, you're in this category of the hypocrites. Is that what you want? You see? That's not God's way. Because that means the credit goes to you and not to God. And so he says, when you do that kind of a deed of kindness, of mercy, you know, of giving, of helping, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. In other words, they did not do it because they love people or they care about people, but they want praise, the praise of men. You see? And so he says, they do it that they may have glory from men, not from God. They're not looking to God. They don't want to be like Him. You see? Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. That's all they're going to get. You know, temporary, fleeting. And after that, who cares? Nobody remembers you. And even when you see a plaque then, you know, of a certain person that gives so much, you say, who is that guy? Nobody knows that guy. You see? And worse than that, there's no record in heaven of that person ever giving anything in his life. What a waste. And so when you come to receive your reward, you know, they look at your credit and you have no credit. Is that what you want? You see? So that exposes us in many ways. Well, you know, you should sit down and look at things like that. So he says, in contrast, that's the way you're going to behave if you're going to be of God. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't let everybody know about it. Don't think about it. Don't walk around and say, oh, I wonder if they know that I'm the one that gave it, and pat yourself on the shoulder. You see? Because all that is vomit in the sight of God. All that is the demonic nature. Self-aggrandizement. Self-exaltation. Self, self, self. You see? That's a demonic nature. It's a devilish nature. It's not of God. And all of us have it. And we must admit it daily before God and puke it out and repent before God daily. You see? For praising ourselves and not giving the credit to God and leaving it there And he who sins in secret, let him reward us in his due time. And so that's what he says. Don't let your right hand know from what your left hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. You see? And when you are rewarded openly and blessed openly, people know. People know, generally speaking, why. You know, you're a person that you do good, and the very people that you did good for, you see, they're going to sing your praises. You're not going to have to do it yourself. And you don't give it to them so they go ahead and do it. You see, you develop a reputation, and you find favor before God and before men. You see? So there's no need to play these kind of games, and it most people do. Nobody gives, you know, all this amount of money, all those philanthropic endeavors. They don't give any penny without making everybody know that they did it. So, what reward do they have? And yet they call themselves Christians. Oh, good Jews. You see, that's against the nature of God. That's a demonic nature. And we're all guilty of it when we do it. And so he says, let God reward you openly. He sees in secret. He knows all things. And to begin with, the people that you help, they know that. You know, you don't need to go beyond that. You don't need to blow your trumpet and pat yourself on the back, let everybody know you've done all these good works. You don't need to do any of that. You know, we even legalize that. Well, the IRS gives us credit because we've done good, and we let the IRS, you know, well, you know, we go to the accountant and let them know, you know, we gave and gave and gave and gave. Well, that's our only reward, you know, a tax break from the IRS, but nothing from God. Now, that shows to begin with our hypocrisy. Unfortunately, that's the way we work. And so all organizations tell you it's tax deduction. They encourage this quality that is a demonic in nature when you think about it. And that's how far we strayed away from God. We say we want reward from man. We want reward, you know, if that man is not somebody we know, at least, you know, from the IRS, from the government. And everybody encourages that, and that's a part of the law. That tells us an awful lot about what we are made of. And so he said, have that relationship of giving between you and God, and God only. You see, and let the people that benefited from that, you know, praise God and thank God for it. And for your own good, it's best that they do not walk around and point the finger at you, you know, he did me good, because, you know, that creates a problem for you, vanity, you see. You know, just, you know, thank God and, you know, that there is such a good man or a good woman around us, and leave it at that, and let God, you know, take care of the rest. These are genuine followers of Christ. And how many people live this Sermon on the Mount or any teaching of God and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God from beginning until the end? Not many, but very few. And that's what Christ said, that his people, his church, is only really made of the very little flock, because he said, broad is the way and many walk in it, and they all fall. But narrow is the path and only few find it. And yet on this earth you find over 2 billion people, so-called Christians. And that's one of the biggest lies on the face of the earth. There is no such a thing. Christ made it very plain, and the day is coming when he's going to expose all of them for what they are. And only the very few. You see, many are called, but only few are going to be chosen, he said. Because a few are the genuine, and the rest are hypocrites. And we see them all around us, and we know them. And if we look at the mirror, we know that person too. Verse 5, and when you pray, he said, switching to another subject, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or in churches or, you know, national prayer, you know, days or breakfast, you know, whatever they call it. You know, they like to do it in public and talk about it and let everybody know about it. Oh, what a good man I am. And they walk in the streets, you know, holding their hands like, you know, in a certain way, you know, their hands together, pretending to be righteous. And that's vomit and filthiness in the sight of God. That's hypocrisy. You see? That's something that you're doing in private between them and their Creator. That's not something, you know, to make a show out of it. And a lot of people do it. And they look, you know, to themselves like Holy Joes or Holy Marys or Holy Marias or whatever they call them. You see? Holy Teresa, you know, Mother Teresa, walking out, you know, down the road, you know, with her hands together, and oh, what a righteous woman. And God looks at them and says, what a puke. We don't think that way. Because we're not studying the nature of God, the mind of God, His law, His Torah, His commandments, His precepts. And that's the only thing, this is the mirror of the law that will tell us what we are made of, you see, and then show us the way out of it. And that's how Christ is being formed in us, through His law, not apart from it. There's no way for Him to become a part of us unless He injects His nature, His mind and character, which is recorded in His Word and that of the Father. It's recorded in His Torah. That's why He said, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah and the prophets. Why would I do a thing like that? That's my very nature and character and that of the Father. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah until you are all become the Torah. The epitome of it, just like I am. It cannot be done away with. And yet what has been taught for the past 2,000 years? That exposes this religion for what it is. That's why God calls it the great whore and the harlots. And many kid themselves that they are the people of God. And so He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. And that's talking, you know, synagogue, all it means is a house of worship. So I don't think only about Jewish. You see, that's any house of worship in any given religion on the face of the earth. You know, they like to do that in public and make a show out of it. They even have it on TV, you see, everywhere. He says, well, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Now, that's the ultimate, the ulterior motive. Man, not God. That's why they do it in the open. And God says, those kind of people are hypocrites. How many of us are in this category? The overwhelming majority. And so He says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's all they're going to get. That's all you're for, after. Go at it. Have fun. But you, He said, you, the few, the very few of you, the genuine ones, the genuine followers, you see, of God. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, that is, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you live by faith, you know that He listens. You don't need to hear, you know, to have man listen to you, you know, and pat you on the shoulder. You know, oh, what a beautiful prayer, you see. You have an intimate relationship there with your God. You don't need others. You don't need the approbation of others. They can call you evil all they want. They can speak evil of you. They can do whatever they want. If your relationship with God is good, you see, if they hate you now, the time will come when their eyes will be open, and hopefully you're praying for them all this time, and then they will see who was the evil one. And they'll, too, repent and turn away and become just like you. Follow your example because you follow your God, your Creator, your Savior and Redeemer. You see? So all along, you know, even while you do it, you cannot be smug about it. And I'm holier than thou. I prayed today in secret and you prayed in the open. You're a hypocrite and I'm not. You see, you can't do that either. So all that is important to learn, comprehend, understand. And that's what He's saying here. Do it all on an intimate basis. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, the pagans. That's the kind of prayers that they have. They keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. There are a lot of people in the Western world called so-called Christians. They go for the religions of the Far East. Well, that's all they do, you know. Your God, they got those mantras there, you know, just repeat again and again and again and again until it becomes meaningless. He says, don't do that. That's pagan. That's of the heathen. That's demon worship. What kind of a person wants you, you know, to come and talk to him in that manner? You see? What kind of a boss, you know, will allow you to stand even 1 minute in presence if you come and say, I want to raise, I want to raise, I want to raise, I want to raise, I want to raise. You see? You're a babbling idiot to him and he'll throw you out. And he says, don't treat God like that. And yet people do it. I repeat the same thing. He says, don't do that. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. You see, little children are that way. They don't know any better. You know, daddy, give me this, give me that, give me a bicycle, give me a bicycle, you see. And finally, you try to shut them up and give them what they want, or just smack them, whichever. God doesn't want to be treated that way. No, none of us want to be treated like that by anybody else. You know, we don't want, you know, those kind of people coming and behave in that manner. You know, we think, oh, what an imbecile is that? You see, why do we treat God like that? That's what he's saying. Don't treat God like that. You know, that's idiocy. And yet people think, well, that's religious. And he says, no, it's not. That's of the heathen, that's pagan. You see? And he says, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. He already knows it. He just wants you to come and express it in an intelligent manner, in a decent manner, in a right manner. You see? And people don't do it because they have not been taught to do things right, because the law of God is not being taught to them, you see? But the crazy teachings of churches and all kind of religions. And God says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. That's vain worship. He's not interested in vain worship. And so he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. He says, this is a manner. This is a model. He didn't say, do it. He says, that's the way you pray. And what is it that people do? They take the very manner that he said, don't do, repeating it, and they do it. And so they, you know, they have this prayer, and they keep repeating it. And they all sing, you know, say it in unison all the time. And Christ just told them, don't do it. But he just gave them an example of how to do things. Just an example. And so they repeat the example all the time, and it becomes meaningless. And you go to churches and you hear it all the time. You go to synagogues and hear it in a different way. And God is not interested in vain repetitions. He's not deaf. He's not short of memory. He's not senile. He can't remember what you said. You have to repeat it again and again and again all the time. You don't have this kind of a conversation with somebody else. And if you do, you know the guy has got an Alzheimer. You see? Or whatever kind of senility. You know, just can't remember what he just said. God doesn't want us to behave like that in his presence. And we should remember that and not be that kind of way. And so this is what we read, the manner that he told them in which to pray. In other words, a sample prayer, example of what is it and how, you see, and what is more important and what is a priority. And that's what he was giving them, you see. And this was not a prayer, this was a sample of how to pray, you see. And he gave them instructions of how to do it from beginning until the end. And so basically this is what he's saying here, in this manner, therefore, pray. This is the manner. You see, you didn't say pray this, but this is the manner. You see, our Father in heaven. That's the first and foremost thing that we should begin with. You see, that's the centrality of everything. It's not Jesus Christ. A false religion made Jesus Christ the centrality of their religion. And after that, they switched it to a woman, his mother. And those that came out of them, mainly the Protestants, went back again to Jesus Christ as the centrality of their worship, and they have a Jesus religion. And when they go to their congregations, to their churches, most of the psalms, most of the singing that they have is around Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and what he had done. And all that should be there. But he's not number one. He made it very plain. My Father is greater than I am. And he devoted all of his worship to his Father, and he obeyed his Father's commandments. It's his Father's religion, not his religion. And people have forgotten that. And so, to this very day, people switch their attention off the Father, the one that became his Father, the Supreme King of the heavens and the earth, the El Elyon, the Most High, and they concentrate on there. From their point of view, their God, Jesus Christ. You go to the Jewish community in the synagogue, and generally you see the centrality of the religion and their worship is the Father. Now, they don't know that there is a Father and Son, but they know throughout the Scriptures he's called the Father, and so they always address him as our Heavenly Father. And here it is. This is what Jesus Christ said. That's the way you have to continue, because that's the way it has been from the beginning. When the nations that knew about God, to whatever degree they did, you know, they always went to the chief god, and then, you know, gradually they went to other gods. And obviously, among the people of God, from righteous Abel, and all those before that, and all those after that, and the people of Israel, Moses, and the prophets, and David, you know, and everywhere else, they always addressed their God, oftentimes, is our Heavenly Father. You are our Father, they would say. And we are, you know, we are your people. And so there was no change here. That's exactly what Christ is doing here. He came to reveal his Father so people would know him more, better, because up to that point, the Father was not dealing, generally speaking, on a personal basis with his people, though the children of Israel knew about the Father and knew about his messenger, their direct king and God. It's only after that that knowledge was lost, unfortunately, and to this very day in the Jewish community, this knowledge is not there. But it was there until then. You see? As we made it very plain in the first series, how the knowledge of the two beings, two divine beings, was always there from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden. And then when they were blinded, as you read in Isaiah 6, that God put that blindness on them, at least in part, they lost their ability to see clearly. And they became drunk, you know. That's how it is described, the state of mind in Isaiah 29. And they could not see properly. And then gradually they were losing more and more. But even in the days of Christ, when he came, Nathanael knew it immediately that he was the Son of God, because there was always that knowledge, for the simple reason that God recorded that knowledge in the Psalms about his Son coming in the future, obviously. And so they had that knowledge, that they were not ignorant of it. And they always knew about the Father, and they always knew that he's going to send his messenger, as he said through Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, even the Lord, whom you seek. You shall come to his temple." So that knowledge was still there. It was not totally gone. But gradually, around the time of Christ, and especially after that, when they totally denied him as a whole in terms of the Jewish community, even though many of them did not, and the church was basically composed of the Jewish followers of Christ, his own people, you see, they did not lose it. But the nation as a whole gradually, totally lost this knowledge and understanding that it was always there in the community of the one who is the supreme God of heaven and earth, and the one that he sends to deal with humanity on a personal basis, the one that came down in Mount Sinai and married Israel, the direct God of Israel. You see, as David spoke about him, "The Lord said unto my Lord," and then the one that came in the flesh is the Messiah. That knowledge was always there, and then gradually was lost, and now they take it for granted. There was such a thing as monotheism, and Abraham introduced monotheism. You see, and there was no such a thing. That's all ignorance and blindness, things that came later on. And to this very day, people believe it, at least in the Jewish community. And the day is coming when he said very plainly he's going to open their eyes, and they're not going to be blind anymore. But until then, until he does until the Father chooses to reveal his Son in them, nobody can go and open the eyes of the Jews and convert them, or anybody else. You see, if anybody is convinced intellectually, that's all it is, just intellectually or academically. But unless the Father himself reveals his Son in them, it's all in vain. There are a lot of people today that follow Christ, and they know him only intellectually and academically, and that's all they do. But Christ does not live his life in them, though the thing that he does. And so he told them, "You pray like that and remember who is number one, not me. I'm not the center of religion." You see? That's why he said later on in John 17, you see, speaking to his disciples right there, and to the entirety of the body that would follow him later on, that became known as the body of Christ. He was praying to his Father, and he was telling him, "You put them under your name, not my name." So there's no such a thing as Christianity. You see, that's a human invention of the pagan church of Rome. We are to be the church of God, the church of the Most High, the church of the Father, and also the church of Christ. You see, but the center of worship and religion and teachings and the commandments all come from him, from the Father. And so he came to reveal the Father and to obey his commandments and to teach his path and his way to all of humanity, as he's done from the beginning of time, being his messenger. And that's why he's directing their attention to that which for the last many, many centuries people have lost, at least in the so-called religion of Christianity. He says, you say, our Father which is in heaven. You see, that's how you begin. And that's the center of your worship of God. And then you pray in the name of Christ. So you say, our Father which is in heaven, holy be your name. Sanctified. How do you sanctify the name of God? The Jews understand it to this very day. That's something they've never lost. You sanctify him by obedience to his commandments, because it is through his commandments that you are being sanctified. And that's exactly what Christ said to his disciples in praying to the Father. He said, sanctify them by your word. That's the only way we can be sanctified and become saints. It's not by that foolish, you know, charade and playing, you know, that game of canonization and sainthood. You see, it's all in vain. That's meaningless. The only time we can be sanctified is when we are walking in the faith, in the truth, in the light. And it is that sanctifies us. That means that Christ lives his life in us through his law, which is holy. And so he said, holy be your name. And yet for 2,000 years, people say, well, you know, that God is the Father, is the God of Israel, the old harsh monster, as they came to call him, because they see a lot of war there and bloodshed. And the writings, the Hebrew scriptures, they call it the Old Testament, you see. And we've got, you know, the God of grace, God of mercy, God of love, affection, faith, all kind of that, you know, things like that, you know, that's Jesus Christ. In their ignorance, they don't understand it. All those teachings came from the Father, and Christ was relaying them and revealing them to his people. And so he says, holy be your name, your kingdom come. That's number one, you see. Your kingdom come, that means it's not here. And as time went by, a new doctrine surfaced, again in pagan Rome. You see, the pagan Christian religion, that's what it is. It's a pagan Christian religion. They take the name of Christ, they believe certain of the doctrines that he taught, and those who followed him, and even though they're mixed up mostly about it, to a large degree, you see, and then they claim now the church is a kingdom. Well, why pray thy kingdom come? And then they keep, you know, repeating this prayer all the time, if the kingdom is already here. And with that in mind, they gave themselves the justification to go by the sword and conquer lands, supposedly for the kingdom of Christ. Christendom, they call it. There is no kingdom on this earth. Christ is not on this earth. He's not reigning in Jerusalem, in Zion. He's not sitting over the house of Jacob. His disciples are not reigning over each one of them, over a tribe of Israel, as he promised them. There is no kingdom on this earth. That's the kingdom of the devil nowadays. That's exactly what all religions are. You see? They're all a part of his kingdom. The kingdom is not here yet. It is coming. And so he told them, pray, your kingdom come. And people stopped praying that, even though they mumbled these words. But in reality, they were told the kingdom is already here, and we are it. Therefore, let's go conquer the world. Wherever we go, we're going to conquer in the name of Christ, they said. I never said in the name of the Father. And here he's talking about your kingdom, the Father, the Father's kingdom. You see, not Jesus Christ's kingdom, but the Father's kingdom. And it is in the Father's kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to reign over the people that he gave to him. As he said, I am the children that you gave me, and the bride that he's going to give to him when he comes back. So all these teachings were lost because they were perverted. And to this very day, people walk in the darkness and they think they walk in the light. And so he says, your kingdom come, your will be done, not the will of Christ. Though the will of Christ and the will of the Father are exactly the same, but he put the emphasis on the will of the Father, and people have lost that, you see. And the center of their worship, go to any given church, the center of worship is not God, it's not the Father, but it's Jesus Christ. You see, it's a Jesus religion. And Christ did not come to establish a Jesus religion. You see, even though he is the epitome of it, along with the Father, you see. But he gave always all the credit to the Father, and he always made it very plain. The Father is the center of the plan of God, not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the instrument through whom the Father is going to bring many sons to glory. He is always and will always be second in command. And for 1,000 years, when he's going to reign upon this earth, at the end of it, we read very plainly, you see, in the resurrection chapter, in 1 Corinthians that Christ is going to turn the kingdom back to the Father and is going to be subject to him when the Father descends with heaven in Jerusalem on this earth, and it's going to be heaven on earth, and he's going to be his servant. You see, he's not the boss. The Father is always, or will always be number one, and Christ will always be number two. You see? And that's what he's talking about. Your will be done, the will of the Father. And people again forgot that in their ignorance and blindness because they've been told lies. What do they know for centuries? They never read the Bible. So whatever they were told, this is what they believed. In any given generation, by whomsoever they called himself a scholar, you know, a servant of Christ. And they were all children of the devil, children of darkness with a mixture of truth and a lot of vomit in it and ignorance and blindness. And that's why God says, you know, you're all members of the whore and the harlots, and Satan the devil deceived the whole world. So you don't know it because you're blind. Blind people don't know that they are blind, spiritually speaking. Physical people, you know, when they're blind, they know it. But spiritually blind people don't know. And so he says, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. The Father decides all things, not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is under command and will always be and was obedient to his Father until death. You see, he was not obedient to himself or to so-called Christianity. You see, all these things were lost, and yet people mumble these words all the time. They don't know what they are reading. They don't know what they are saying. That's how blind people are, from the greatest of them to the least. And so it says, your will be done, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, when everybody up there is under his command, including Jesus Christ. And Christ cannot come to this earth until the Father says, go. That's why he said, you know, nobody knows the time of my coming, you know, not even the angels, but only the Father knows that, because he's the one in charge. You see, Christ has never been in charge. Christ is given a charge, but he's never been in charge. The Father is in charge, and Christ is under his subjection, and all of us are going to be. And unless we learn to do so, to be under subject to the Father and his commandments and his religion and his path and his way, which he revealed through his Son, who was not his Son in the beginning, you see, through his messenger from the Garden of Eden and then in Sinai and so forth, we'll never be in that kingdom. Because the will of the Father has to be done in us or else. That's what he's saying here. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then now you acknowledge the most important aspects of your relationship with God, the centrality of the Father in your life, you see. And mind you, he did not even inject himself here. Just talked about the Father and his greatness and his kingdom and his will, which he too was doing. And when he comes to this earth, that's what he's going to do, the will of the Father. And he's going to reign under him, not instead of him, you see. And he's not going to be the vicar of God. Some pagans, you know, came up with this idea, and then they have it in their religion, their church. Call it the vicar of Christ. There are no vicars of Christ. We're all servants. And Christ made it very plain. One is your master, and he's in heaven, and all of you, barring none, all of you are brethren. So where do you find a vicar in this reality? Where do you find a hierarchy in this reality? I'm greater than you are. I'm holier than you are. You kiss my ring. I sit on the throne and you bow down before me. You don't see that in the religion of God. In the religion that Jesus Christ brought to this earth and magnified it, which is a sin that has been from the beginning. You see? Thus we have an ear, as Christ said, let them hear. Thus we have eyes to see, let them see. But obviously the majority would not. That's the way it is, and it's going to be until the end of time. And so he says, now that you have acknowledged all those things, and then you desire the will of the Father, and well, what was the will of the Father? You see? That you be disobedient to his law and reject it and call it another law of the old harsh monster, you know, that God of the Old Testament? Of course not. His will is that you walk in his path and his ways. Obey him. You see? Obey the messenger who brought it to the attention of mankind upon this earth, who came from the Father, which is, you know, when you obey him, you obey the Father. You see? But they all function by the same law. It's not one law to one, another law to another, one religion for one, another religion to another. You know, one God belongs to the Jews, and you know, maybe Muslims and others, and another God belongs to the Christians. you see, in terms of Jesus Christ. And they've got another religion, you know, and have a different name and different doctrines and things like that. This is all confusion. And it's because people are blind, it never dawned on them to think there's something wrong here. There's confusion. You see? Now one day, their eyes are going to be open. And they're going to be, as Christ said, you know, when he's going to resurrect all the children of Israel, bring them back and open their eyes and make them understand what they've been walking in all the time, he said, you're going to loathe yourself. Realize how duped you were, how confused you were, what kind of darkness you walked in, what kind of evil and abominations and vileness you walked in, and yet you thought you were in the light. You see, and obedient to your God. And all of us are going to go through that to one degree or the other, because there are still many, many things that we think that we know. And you should always be humble and meek and be willing to change and to repent. And nothing that we know at all. As Paul would say, he that thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. And so, we're going to end up at this point now and continue next time. This is again Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.